looking at the rising billions, disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Rich.
Hi, it's Christopher Gumby with Think Bold, Be Bold, here with my awesome co-host, Alan Rich. Alan, how are you today?
I'm having a great day. Looking outside, it's October, and there is complete blue sky in Portland, Oregon today, and I'm a happy guy. Got no complaints whatsoever. Woke up this morning, that's great. Every day that I get up, it's a great day. How about you, Chris? How's it going in Florida?
Florida's great. You know, this time of year down at the beach on the Gulf of Mexico is superb. In fact, it's so funny. I was out and doing a little dream building where I normally, you know, sit and looked out, and there's this 120-foot yacht. And we don't get a lot of that here because it's beach and we don't really have, unless, you know, you go to Panama City and you go down to Destin, you will, you know, see larger yachts coming in and, you know, not so much 120, you know, foot yachts. This thing's $100 million. It's owned by a guy out of Saudi Arabia, and it just happens to be down throughout the Gulf, and, you know, that's where they, you know, obviously keep it, and it just cruises around. But this guy gets off the boat and walks into my friend saw this, I didn't, but he walks in to go play tennis in a little place called Watercolor that has a great tennis pro there, a good friend of mine as well. And he walked in and brought his, you know, extra clothes, and there you go. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And I was doing some dream building, so it was perfect.
Fantastic. Yeah, we don't get we get the smaller versions of those yachts. They usually they line up with you know, what's in your matchbox, you know, the little tiny cars that you can buy for your kids. We have those around here.
Yeah,
no, we have some of those. But that's fantastic. What I gotta admit, folks, if you haven't had a chance to really see where Chris is, you know, do some research, and he's really in, you know, a really great place in the country, and it attracts a lot of unique people and unique opportunity, and I just enjoy hearing about what's going on there. But anyway, I digress a little bit. Chris, what have we got going today?
We have we always have great guests coming on, but I'm extremely excited to learn about our guests today and their adventure for something that we haven't done a lot of, you know. And we have a lot of authors and speakers and certainly different people that do online. But this is a little different. It is online, and I'm excited to hear about the journey, and not only that, what they're up to and where the vision is going. And they've built a pretty – well, we've had an opportunity to talk a little bit prior, and we saw, you know, such an amazing story come together just in a short period of time. So this goes on a deeper dive today, Alan, and I can't wait. So without you, as always, get the party started.
I will be happy to do that. You know, there's this brings a, should I say, a really kind of a unique perspective and a little bit of memory for me. I spent 25 years in architecture and designed a lot of vacation rentals for a lot of probably the top five vacation rental ownerships in the world. And what we're talking about today is managing vacation ownerships. But what we're going to do is we're going to paint a completely different picture than what might be on your mind right now when you hear the word vacation rental. and what does that really mean? And is it something where you have to buy into, or is it the Airbnb? And what do those two things have to do with each other? And how do they pertain to me? And I'm excited because I know this company. I've watched this company grow. They're local to me. I know a lot of the background of a number of the employees. I've done some research, not that I knew them before, but knew a little bit about where they've come from and what they've done and what they've been able to build. And they started out in 2009 with one house and one idea. And just a few years later, they're talking about working in some 20 different states across the country, and I think up to a dozen countries now, and they got about 1,000 employees. And I'm excited because Chris and I talk a lot about disruption, and we talk about disruption in all sorts of different industries, and they have figured out a way to disrupt very effectively and efficiently the vacation rental property. And I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag to define exactly what that is. I'm going to let them do that. But today we have the co-founder of Vacasa, Vacation Rental Property Management Company, with us today. The co-founder, Cliff Johnson. So Cliff, welcome to the podcast show. And also Sarah, welcome to the podcast show.
Thanks, Chris and Alan. We're happy to be here today, just across the street in Portland.
I love it. So, you know, Cliff, you guys, obviously, you know, my favorite opening to the show is, you know, where people start and, you know, where did this idea germinate? And from there, you know, the journey that you've taken to get where you are today. So there's a couple of questions in there, but I'm going to give you a third one to think about it as well. So, and I'll recap. And where are you going? So, you know, where did it germinate? What was the journey, and where are you going? And we'll give you as much time, you know, to give us some insight, and a little background on you. You know, where did this, you know, as you were germinating, where did this, you know, all come from, so that we can inspire people that ideas can, you know, grow. And you know, obviously, this one did, and we're really excited to hear it.
Well, certainly, I'd be happy to speak about that, Chris. It's one of my favorite topics. So. The idea really came from the way that Eric, my co-founder, ran his property in Long Beach, Washington, that Ellen alluded to earlier. And so Eric's wife, Aaliyah, had inherited the responsibility of taking care of this 400-square-foot cottage in Long Beach, Washington. And if you don't know where that is, it's a small town just over the border from Oregon, close to the mouth of the Columbia River. A beautiful little town, but the property needed a lot of work, and so they had to put a lot of time and effort and money into it, and they were looking around trying to find a local property manager to take care of it and make some rental income off of it, and they got a lot of people that weren't interested. First of all, it was a 400-square-foot cottage without an ocean view on the wrong side of the highway, so it wasn't in high demand at the time. But they also, they found there was a lack of motivation amongst the local managers. So the projections they got back were around $3,000 gross rent per year for the house, which hardly seemed worth renting it out at that point. Eric and Aaliyah decided to run it on their own, and they did quite well with it. They made $23,000 in gross rent in the first year. They had a great housekeeper they worked with, and so they kind of blew the local competition out of the water on that one property.
Cliff, just to ask the question, it went from barely making anything, and when they took it over, you know, making actually a very substantial amount of money off of one little property.
Oh, definitely. And I would say this property was artificially improved by the fact that there was a heavy restriction on adding new rentals in the market. So the demand for the market was restricted in that way. The supply in the market was restricted.
Right.
And so that helped the property, but that's still not a unique story to homes that we brought on with Vacasa. And many times we'll bring on a property that's just been sitting there and not making much money, even though it has a lot of potential, and we're able to turn it around and convert it into a high-income producer. That's actually was the foundation for something that's now a big piece of what we offer, which is an income guarantee for homeowners that come on with us. And I'll get more into that a little bit later, but I guess just to get, finish off the origination story. When I met Eric, we actually met over Craigslist. He had posted, I was an attorney at the time, and he posted this somewhat cryptic job description of looking for someone interested in entrepreneurship. He had a business, an environmental business at the time I was interested in. And, so I was somewhat skeptical when we met. I was like, well, we'll see what happens with this. But it turned out we had a great meeting the first time we met. I think we ended up just talking for 2 hours about just all sorts of things, more, business philosophies and thoughts about, how to run a business for something more than just running it to earn a profit, and found that we have a lot of similarities and ambitions. So at the time that I met him, we weren't really sure what that would lead to. He had this concept of a vacation rental idea. At the time, we were looking at, did it make sense to do full service management or just a booking service where we didn't have local operations or anything? We were based in Portland, which at the time didn't allow many vacation rentals at all. It was a narrow definition that only applied to commercially zoned properties. So we really couldn't do business on the full service side in our backyard. So we got together and really focused on both models to start. We started a booking service model and a full service property management model. The full service model, we were really only applying to the Oregon markets, which were the Oregon coast, Mount Hood, and Central Oregon. And we got a lot of properties in both areas. It was easier to get properties on the booking service. And to describe the difference, with booking service, we were doing the marketing and handling reservation inquiries, things like that, getting bookings for owners, but it wasn't exclusive, so they could book on their own, or other management companies could book for them. And then the full service, we made exclusive from the start. So in that case, we would work with a homeowner and do everything for them, from booking, marketing, setting the rates, taking care of all the maintenance of the home, managing the housekeeping. So the full process was ours. We had a lot more control of what the product became. And it was a much messier organizational chart. So there wasn't as much competition in that space as there was in the booking service space. So we launched both in March of 2010. It took us a few months to get the software up and going and finish out the business model, take care of all the legalese and everything. And once we launched the business in March of 2010 and launched both models, we really took off in terms of adding properties under the booking service model. But we were also slowly adding properties on the full service and finding that those properties were performing much better because we had full control over them. So I think the best decision we ever made in the business was to abandon that booking service model early on, just finding that we were having to work twice as hard to manage other people to manage their homes well compared to the homes we had full control over, which we were able to execute quite well on. So that really was the thing, that was kind of the lightning in the bottle, where we found nobody was doing that well in most of the markets we were working within. Sometimes there would be a local manager that would have 20 properties that they would do pretty well with, but they would usually do one side or the other well. They would take care of the property or they would rent it well. Hardly anyone was out there doing both well, and nobody was doing it on a distributed basis. So that was the big differentiator for our business early on. But as you both know, and you've heard a lot of stories from entrepreneurs, if you just have one good idea and that's all you do, quickly everybody catches up. So for us, the biggest thing that's driven us forward since that point has been the ability to adapt and change on the fly. And I think, staying nimble as we continue to grow has enabled us to continue to have differentiators that separate us from the rest of the field. And this vacation rental space is such an interesting space in the sense that it wasn't on the radar when we started the company, 6.5 years ago. And at that time, what we were doing was pretty novel and unique on the distributed management side. Since then, you've seen a lot of companies enter and attempt that. Some have succeeded, some have failed. We're the second largest vacation rental management company in the country now, all behind only Wyndham, which largely grew through acquiring ResortQuest and some other large companies. So we're really the only one that's grown organically to this size. And that's something that we're really proud of because we learned how to do this business the right way, one home at a time early on, before we ever acquired another company. So that's something we're quite proud of, but it's something that we also try not to get too caught up in our accomplishments because, you know, once you're stagnant, you're falling behind everybody else. So that's been an interesting journey up to this point, but that's something we definitely look forward as we grow is, you know, how do we continue to offer these differentiating factors? In our space, they can happen on both sides. It's the income side and then the quality of care. That's what our homeowners care about. And so we're always focused on how can we ensure that, you know, we're providing a great experience for guests, getting great reviews. You know, some of the things that are out there now are along the lines of noise detection systems to prevent parties at home. That's something that homeowners are always concerned about. We've had a world-class rate algorithm for a long time that adjusts rates based on demand, similar to the way flights and hotels work. That's been a strong differentiator from us to keep properties full in the off-season when most homes are sitting empty. So yeah, there's been, you know, that's where the focus has been, and I'd be happy to speak to more of the things that we're doing along those lines as we continue the conversation today.
I love
Fantastic.
It.
I'm just
I love that
notes
you
here.
Pointed out, yeah, you pointed out some unique, and that was going to be my question, what's unique about Vacasa, and, you know, you pointed out quite a few there near the end. Alan, jump in, my friend.
I love this whole concept. I mean, I don't know if I should apologize or if I should just own it, but I did a lot of designing for Wyndham. So we were the firm nope. we were at.
We have a friendly competitor relationship with
yeah.
them. We try to be very open with our competitors. We have a lot of aligned interests. The industry is getting hit pretty hard on the regulatory mm-hmm. side right now.
Yeah.
So we always look to work with competitors whenever we can to advocate
sure.
you know, a fair regulation system.
Yeah, no, and all the stuff that I did for Wyndham was either new construction or remodel, and it was multi-use and large, you know, we're talking, you know, 300 or 400 keys, you know, and bigger for that. But it was quite interesting because they talked about doing some of the things that you're doing, but, and how do I say this, politically correct. They didn't manage it, I don't think, as well because the following wasn't there. Now, a lot of it was timeshare management, and mm-hmm. there were challenges with that because they really couldn't cater to all demographics, and they didn't have the option to sort or to target individual, I didn't think, in a way, individual users. And so there's this wide swing of users using the property. And I think what happens is because they didn't have as good a control as I think maybe they should have. I can say this now because it's been a number of years since I've been in the industry, but they weren't able to manage the experience, I think. And I think the experience is key. People going on vacation, they want to escape where they're at. They want to be able to have an experience. And that's something that you guys have really done, I think, a great job at. Talk about, you know, creating a little bit different environment. Because like what you just mentioned, you talk about, you know, noise canceling technology, make sure there's not a whole lot of parties. Most places can't afford to, or either they don't have it in their algorithm or they don't have it in their P&L to take that kind of detail. And I think that's what makes it really different, because I know that there's a lot of people out there probably right now that maybe have some extra knowledge in this industry, and they might be asking themselves right now, you know, what's different from you than Airbnb? And I know you explained a couple of things that are different, but there was an article done in Forbes magazine, and I think that they interviewed Eric about this, but there's a great explanation in here of the difference between Airbnb and what Vacasa does. And I want people to read this article. It was written by Bruce Rogers as a Forbes staff, I think back in April of this year, and you can see it on the Forbes website. But go ahead and explain for us a little bit, kind of in a very condensed version, the difference between Airbnb expectation and Vacasa expectation when it comes to user experience.
Yeah, I'm really happy you brought that up because it's one of the most common questions I get when people ask me what I do and I start to explain it. Typically, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, like Airbnb. And so I always have to correct them and explain that Airbnb is a marketing channel. So the big difference between us and them is they're essentially a potential partner for us. They are a partner for us in many markets where we market properties on Airbnb. But the big difference is with Airbnb, you're getting a wide range of managers, many of whom are the homeowner themselves, who may be very far from the market that the property is in. So you get a wide range of experiences as a result. With us, it's a curated list. We have the full control over every property on down to the maintenance and housekeeping and taking care of the home. So we, for instance, will have an out-of-order status where we're inspecting the homes constantly. If the home isn't up to a standard, that home isn't going to be rented through our site. Airbnb doesn't have an operational component, so they're not out in the field. They're just marketing it from, you know, a central office. So they're relying on the individuals who own the properties and some managers to take care of those properties. And so that's the biggest difference, is just the experience the guest is getting. There's a lot more that goes into it as well. Airbnb is one of many marketing channels. HomeAway is the other biggest one in the market. But there's Booking.com, TripAdvisor. More and more people are getting into the space. Expedia bought HomeAway last year. So Expedia is paying more time and attention to vacation rentals. So if you're only on Airbnb, if your home is only listed on Airbnb, you're getting a small part of the overall market. With us, we're marketing on every channel that's relevant, including, you know, pushing direct traffic to our own site. So from the homeowner side, the differentiation between Airbnb and us is really opening themselves to the entire market rather than just...
We lost them. They just, they're gone.
Sounded like someone hung up. 27 minutes. I got,
yeah, 27.
We'll just stay on.
Yeah, They just totally, I think somebody hit the button.
Actually,
I'm sure they're still
28,
talking. 28, 53.
We're on 28, 50. Okay, we'll just wait for them to jump back in. Dude, they are advanced, you know, just beyond, and I can't wait to get into the technology piece. But if you haven't gone on their dollhouse view yet, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been all over their stuff. I've known about these guys. When we were talking about them, I was in the hospital, I think, when you spent time talking to them. They're back.
Hi, Chris. Right. Sorry about that. I need to stop talking with my hands while I'm on the radio.
I think I'm leaving this part in.
Well, I'm originally from New Jersey, so I learned my gesturing there, you know. But,
you know, the magic's in the edit, Cliff. It's all good. Okay, so carry on.
Oh, yeah, so I was just speaking to some of the differences for Airbnb and us. And so on the owner side, it's really just limiting the market that they're attracting. If they're only working with Airbnb, then they're limiting themselves for the rest of the market that doesn't use Airbnb. And if you look at the demographics, it's quite interesting to see how it skews. Like HomeAway owns VRBO. That's been a channel that's been around and established for a long time. There are a lot of users that are comfortable and familiar with that who are very loyal to it. Airbnb has typically attracted the new generation of vacation rental users, and it's typically more focused on urban markets. So at the end of the day, I just try to explain it's like one of many marketing channels, the same way that you could look at Expedia, Kayak, you know, hotels.com in the hotel space. So Airbnb is the equivalent of one of those, where we're more like the Hilton or something like that. I always try to differentiate ourselves from hotel chains too, because when you stay in a Vacasa home, it's not like staying at a hotel where you're going to get the same experience no matter where you are. The unique part is really the home itself. The part that's consistent with us is it's going to be clean, it's going to have all the supplies you need, it's going to be transparent, so the photos you see are going to be what you get when you arrive, which is often a difference between us and an Airbnb or HomeAway or another marketing channel, because there's no consistency in management for listing channels. So it's really that consistency for the owner and the guest, and on the owner side, it enables us to give them greater returns on a financial side as well.
Awesome. Hey, I'm gonna jump in here, Chris. I just want to elaborate. Cliff, I'm gonna toot your horn a little bit more than you're very modest, but I'm gonna toot your horn more because what you guys are providing is an experience for both ends of the spectrum. You're providing an experience for the property owner, but you're also providing an experience for the end user, and they're completely different experiences. They're completely different expectations, and you found a way to blend those together so it's a win-win scenario. And as far as I know, there's really nobody else in the market that does that. They take one side or the other, and you guys have built in algorithms to talk about how you can manage the property, and it comes down to how long does it take to clean, and what does it really mean to do this, and what does it mean to do that, and talking about the expectation of both. How did you guys decide that you wanted to really make that experience equal and paramount on both sides of the table when your competition wasn't doing that? I know that's part of the democratization that's going on, but why did you guys decide to take on both sides?
No, I appreciate that, Alan. It's always better for somebody else to toot your own horn. So. But I think that on our end, it's really, we started out probably skewed a little bit towards the owner because, to be honest, we needed inventory before we could provide an experience for the guest. I would say we sacrificed our margin at the beginning more than anything, though. Eric and I were out repairing homes for free, essentially, all the time in the early days. So, I was basically pulling rodents out of homes and restoring them. I was repainting homes. replacing toilets, things that now I don't do as much, on occasion I'll do it just for fun. But Eric, Eric did the insulation underneath a cabin up in Mount Hood that I don't think anybody had been in the crawl space for 20 years. So he was covered in spiders and cobwebs and mouse.
Find Jimmy Hoffa out up there.
But we got dirty early on to make the owners happy. And so that was something that we also learned a lot from that experience in that it wasn't scalable, so we had to start building a model that we could ask other people, employees, to reasonably do and execute on in a way that would still leave enough of a margin for us to effectively run the business. But I would say within that first year, we really captured that balance between the guest experience and the owner experience. I would say we were also a little bit too much like Nordstrom in the early days where the guest was always right no matter whether they were clearly wrong. I think we came back a little bit on that just because, as you both are probably aware of, it's easy to be taken advantage of if you're in that situation. So we have to protect our employees and our homeowners as well. So it's always a difficult balance because they're, in some ways the owner experience and the guest experience are competing. But most ways they're aligned. So what we focused on is how do we really make those things shine through? For instance, most homeowners want their home to be in great condition for their own arrival, for their property value, et cetera, et cetera. And most guests will definitely want the home to be in great condition. The tension that you run into is whether the owner wants to spend the money they need to in order to keep the home in great condition. So that's the area where we had to use a kind of a carrot and stick mentality where, we have that out of order status if the owner doesn't take care of their home. And we try not to use that unless we really need to, because we always try to work with the owners. And one of the areas we really did a great job with that was dealing with owners that didn't have the money to do that. We would actually advance the funds in the sense that we would pay the contractor ahead of time to fix something and then deduct it over time from their rent, so that they didn't have a huge upfront expense, so they could start seeing the increase in rent and the improvement in guest reviews that came from that repair. And so that's something that I think was very core to our business early on, and we still look at that as a homeowner partnership where we're working with them to continue to improve their property, and we always try to be direct with them about, hey, you've got to set aside, 10% of your income every year that you get from this home to keep improving it, or it's going to become outdated and it's going to become worn, and then you're going to start getting poor reviews and the home won't perform as well. So I think it was nice that we came from the standpoint of, Eric's experience as a homeowner. And so that's what we always drew from whenever we spoke to owners about how to prepare their home for rental.
Awesome.
I love that. Now, you guys are really rocking out the technology. And I got to talk about that because I love the, you know, forward thinking. And as, admittedly, as you are speaking, I'm on your app on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to give it to you because I just, like, while you were speaking, I was in the shower in the dollhouse view using my iPhone to really check out this home. And the detail is absolutely incredible. The virtual tour is unreal. And when I tapped on it, you got to talk about this because I'd love to get your viewpoint on, obviously, the world's changing. It's moving forward. There's new technology. There's new ways. And I'd love to hear your how you guys are implementing that. But you obviously are, because I could actually go on my Oculus Rift and do an amazing virtual reality inside that home if I chose, based on this one particular, but not all of them. How popular is it becoming with things going on there in my mind right now? But I'm just throwing it out there from technology, what you guys are doing, where you guys are going with that. But how popular is that with the fact that, you know, it must be a very nice, attractive piece for, you know, your homeowners to be able to provide that to all over the world that want to check out the home. I mean, that dollhouse just blew me away. That's such a cool aspect. I have never seen that before.
Oh, certainly. That's been a big differentiator. That's one of the things that we implemented this year. That's a partnership with Matterport. They're the company that created that technology. And then we've worked with them to put that, and we will have it on every home soon. It's a really great technology. We actually even have some goggles that you can use here where it feels even more like a virtual reality experience because you're completely, sure, you know, all of your senses are focused on the tour. But I would say the biggest driver for us on implementing that was to create more transparency for the guest experience, so that the guest can, one of the questions we always get is, you know, is there a ground floor bedroom that my grandmother can sleep in, things like that. This virtual tour gives you that experience like you're walking in the home. So you can see, you know, how large is the kitchen, is there a nice play area for the kids, all the tiny details that make such a difference in making it a great experience for everyone. So that's why we provided it primarily, but you had mentioned the homeowner experience, it really has been a nice lift there because when we bring a new property on and we have this 3D tour there, it's something that nobody else is offering to all homes. So it's something that we're really excited about, just providing that additional layer of transparency. And one more reason for people to come to our site directly as opposed to shopping in all these different marketing channels out there.
I agree. It was incredible. I have to tell everyone listening, you know, our audience, to check it out, thecosta.com. And you can pick someone in the world that they're doing business with the homeowners and, you know, find a virtual tour because that was just, it blew my mind. I've never seen that before. And I was in a house that I know the area, and I actually don't know the house particularly, but I'm inside the dollhouse, and I'm looking around with this 360 view, and I can pick anywhere in the home, and I put my finger on it and zoomed right in, and now I'm in the room. And the attention to detail, as you said, Cliff, is incredible, so that you can actually look at the finishings. You can look at, hey, is this going to be awesome, you know, experience when we go there? Because you feel like, I honestly felt like I was in the house. You know, I know that I'm looking at it on my phone. I can only imagine what Oculus Rift will provide, as you said, other senses, and that sensory, you know, being inside something that, you know, you're not there. You know you're not there, but you feel you're there, which is incredible. And I had to, you know, ask you that question because I agree that is something where the world is going, and you know, for companies like yourself that are ahead of that curve right now and providing that opportunity, and any homeowner out there right now listening in, you definitely got to check this out because I think that is, you know, what people are looking for. I do. Now that I know it's available, Cliff, I'm definitely checking out your site because that just drew me 100% in, knowing that I can actually, you know, jump inside a house, whether I have my goggles on or not, and I can look at the detail and the attention to detail, to your point, is this room large enough? Can my grandmother, you know, be on the first floor? All those other things that you just mentioned. So kudos, my friend, kudos. That was an incredible experience.
That actually, awesome. You know, the ability to implement something like that really comes from the fact that we are a technology company at our core. We always balance that technology aspect with the operational aspect. We're the majority of our employees are operational employees, but we have a large software development team here in Portland. And one of the things that we did early on was build our own property management software system. The first year of the business, we actually worked with Escapia, which is now owned by HomeAway. It's a great software, but it's really designed for a manager who manages one region. There wasn't a software out there that we were able to find at that time that worked with us to manage multiple markets with a lot of different challenges and changes. And so Eric actually built our first version of our software, and we're on version 3 or 4 now. I have to give a lot of kudos to Lorenzo, our CTO, because he's been able to scale the software as we've grown at least twice our size every year. And that's not an easy challenge by any means. But what it enables us to do is act quickly when there's a differentiator available. So, for instance, with Matterport, right, we're not working through a third party to integrate that into our software. We're doing it directly. Mm-hmm. So that direct path really enables us to integrate new things or to change as we see an opportunity much quicker than our competition can. It's also a major decision in terms of investment, though, as I'm sure you both know. I mean, hiring software developers is not cheap, and the system is not something that we look at as a cost savings. It's more as something that can keep us on the cutting edge and moving forward in technology.
So. Well, it's a disruptive technology in how you're using it. Sorry, Chris, I think I cut you off.
No, it's okay. It's totally cool. I love it. I'm very impressed, guys. And, you know, I think that this is just, you know, again, to the audience, Vacasa.com, you've got to check it out. It's just such a game changer in my mind, especially for those who want to, you know, check things out. I mean, you know, one day, Cliff, are you just going to, you know, allow people to virtually go on vacation and just stay at home?
Yeah, it'll be great. That'll be an interesting thing for the environment as well, right? We will have less flights or anything going around. You can just relax and enjoy everything in your home. No stress with the airport. So that'd be great.
A true staycation.
Yeah. You might not have much of a tan afterwards, I guess, unless you watch it in a tanning bed. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows what's going to be available then. You just step into something and, you know, voila, you're brown and you're at home. So, cool. Alan, what else do we have? I mean, that technology blew me away. I'm just going to still be an odd. You know what? Now that I've seen it, guess what?
He's going to play on it all day. I know he is.
Everybody's going to see it that I know. So this is great. I just think it's incredible.
It's addictive. It really is.
In fact, I'm going to post it today because I thought it was really cool, and I want everybody to see it that, you know, I'm associated with on all my social media. So how about that? Even though the show hasn't gone out yet, I'm excited to get that out there and have people check that out. So, again, kudos. That was just I've got a huge smile. I just love it.
Well, yeah, and the great thing, you know, Alan was mentioning Santa Rosa Beach where you are earlier. We actually have some great properties down there, too. So, you know, if people want to go check out your neighborhood, we should send them on our site, do some virtual tours, pick out a great spot. And we also have properties here in Portland where Alan and I live. So the interesting thing as we continue to expand, that's something that gets me really excited. I'm an avid traveler. And over the past year, I've taken over running our international division, and so that's where my focus is now. And we've, you know, launched Europe earlier this year. We have a lot of properties in Italy and Spain, down in Chile as well, Costa Rica, Belize, and we're launching Uruguay right now. So we'll be adding countries a lot faster moving forward now that we have the technology, you know, basically set up in order to enable us to add international markets in a more streamlined manner. So I'm really excited about that. It gives me a good excuse to travel and see new places.
I want to cut right here, just to edit this part. I'm just going to take it offline just for a second, just ask a question. Happy to keep it in there when I do ask the question and you feel that it, you know, it's something that, you know, maybe we can blend in, but you get final cut on the show. But I wanted to ask you a question because it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. Not only do people want to virtually see the house they're going to stay in, but what about virtually seeing the area that they're going to be in, and go beyond that, the restaurants they're going to be in, to the shopping that's available? Can you see anything happening as you guys grow? And that's why I wanted to edit and cut.
You actually nailed it, though. We're looking at that right now. So the first goal with the Matterport technology was to get all of our homes, get all the virtual tours on our homes. The next goal is to work with local partners, like the restaurants, like local realtors, anyone who can benefit from the technology that will also help our guests have a better experience or plan out, hey, we're looking for a certain ambiance. Does this restaurant fit that ambiance? We have quite a few photographers on staff, so one of the great things about that is we can basically bring them, get them more work when we're doing something like this, get them the ability to go out and spend some more time shooting the area. A lot of times it will just depend on the density we have in that market to make sure it's worthwhile.
Sure.
So if we're going to go out and spend quite a bit of money shooting all these things, we just want to make sure that we're well established in that market and that it's going to have, at least be cost neutral to the business. So that's something we always look at. We always are willing to make an investment, and that's, where it comes in on the marketing side. There's always some value to doing that. But the other piece is just, creating these relationships with local businesses. We love to send them as much business as possible. We're a very local-centric company in that we work hard to work in the communities that, we have all these homes in to ensure the local businesses are well taken care of, that we're sending the guests there, that they're really benefiting from the boom in tourism in these markets. So I think this, what you mentioned there is a key next step to further those relationships.
Alan, I just wanted to expand.
No, go for it.
And we're gonna be able to obviously edit out some of the stuff in this, but
sure.
What I wanted to actually make a point of is that wouldn't that be a benefit, and almost an extension to business opportunity to those restaurants, to the activities that are, around it, and wouldn't that become, maybe an opportunity for them to, be part of a CASA in some way, for those areas. And I know you guys are willing to put the investment in, but I think it looks like a revenue opportunity from that perspective as well, if you're going to promote, because that's essentially what it is, any kind of promotion of the local establishments, activities and all that for people when they go there. Anyway, just some food for thought around that.
Well, and the way we look at that, too, we never really tried to make it, I would say, a revenue opportunity. It's more about providing a better experience for our guests. So if we can do the virtual tour of a restaurant and then also have some sort of a discount or free appetizer or something that the restaurant can give our guests, then it enhances their experience. And the more they can associate that with, when I book through Vacasa, I get this great experience that also helps engage me in the community. And that's one of the great things about vacation rentals for me compared to hotels. It's not that you're going to a place and being completely isolated from the community. You're going to a place and being embedded in the community. And so our guests really are looking for those local experiences. So it just helps us create an even greater bond between our guests and those local businesses. Because I will say, sometimes you'll go into a smaller town and there will be a fear that the tourists will take over the town. And these are even places where tourists are the reason the town existed in the first place, So sometimes fabric of the community changes quite a bit over time. So I think it's always important to keep that bond and keep the experience a positive one between the local community and the tourism community.
I love it.
Cliff, I want to take a step farther and elaborate on what Chris is talking about. And what you're talking about here is collaboration and partnering. And that's what a lot of companies don't do because they fear that maybe they can't control the unity that's going to happen. But when you can bring in, like you said, the opportunity to enhance and increase and deepen the experience with a guest, then you're building brand loyalty, and which I know that's not something new to you guys. That's a very prominent piece of what you're doing. but it also builds brand loyalty with the environment and with the neighborhood and with the surrounding businesses. It almost creates a membership mentality on both sides, both the customer that's looking for an experience beyond just the room and board, you know, the bed and the key. They're looking at for the overall experience. And then it gives the local vernacular, that gives them an opportunity to be able to market to your guests as well, so that they get the full experience. You know, maybe there's a membership kind of thing that could go on there. And maybe you guys are, you know, investigating that with local you know, companies, whether it's a profit or whether it's you know, just a another benefit. But you guys are really expanding into a unique opportunity here, to where a lot of this can be done with the end user, the renter, or the lessee, whatever the case may be, long before they decide to even book, you know, book an escape. And I just kudos for that, because I think you're leading down a road that a lot of other competition is going to want to play in, but they're going to have a lot of infrastructure they're going to have to put together in order to do that. So again, hats off, kudos. I'm glad you guys are in Portland personally, you know, for us, but it also helps elevate the reputation of Portland. You know, we don't just get lost on the mountain. We don't just wear Birkenstocks and eat mushrooms. We have some real forward-thinking companies here that really put the client first. And just, you know, hats off, guys. And I can't say it enough. I'm really excited for, I think you guys are just in the infancy of what's happening here with experiential marketing and vacation experience. And I think there's going to be an awful lot more, I'm on soapbox here, it's going to be an awful lot more people, they're going to take work vacations. They're going to be able to, they're going to be able to work remotely, and they're going to use your platform to say, okay, I want to go work remotely, but I'm going to spend X amount of time, and I want to have an experience when I get there that I can anticipate long before I arrive. And that's something that a lot of it are companies and hotels and large key operators that don't have that experience yet. So kudos for leading down that new road.
Absolutely.
Oh, I appreciate it. Go ahead, Mike. All right, go ahead, Chris.
I was
sorry.
Just going to make a quick mention for our audience listening in. You know, talked about the story, and I'm just going to recap. It started with a personal experience. It turned into an idea, moved into a collaboration, or a mastermind, I like to call it, with some action and then implementation with some pivoting, and really a formula in that context is how this company has grown to where you are now, from the launch of 2010 to really, you know, now narrowing in and providing that experience. And you said something very interesting, and I want to point out, you guys are very much focused on the guest experience, but making sure that the owners are happy by listing. And, you know, that's such a great, you know, connection between the two. Cliff, on just what I recapped, you know, from that, would that be bang on, you know, from that journey, you know, along that way, and, you know, now 5 years later, tell us a little bit about, or 6 years later, tell us a little bit about, you know, where you guys are right now as a company. And I know Alan threw out some numbers and, you know, employees and all that sort of stuff, but give us you know, your view on what's happened, you know, from a growth, because like I said, personal experience to an idea, to a mastermind, to action, implementation, and then you guys pivoted a lot along the way and really narrowed in. What has that resulted in from where you guys started to where you are now?
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey, you know, and I think it's just beginning. As you alluded to earlier, the vacation rental industry as a whole is growing rapidly. We continue to grow rapidly within that. But I would say the biggest change over the past year or two has really been the maturation process. I mean, we're a much more mature company now. We've been able to implement some of the things that this year that, you know, we had to wait a while to ensure we were at the level to do it. A couple of good examples on that are things that are really focused on creating, you know, a great space to work for our employees. We moved into a new central headquarters in Portland in the Pearl District, where we have everybody together on one large city block floor, which is really great. So that it fosters a lot of collaboration between the teams. We had grown so quickly, we kept changing offices every 6 months, and then we had two offices in Portland, and we still have one in Boise that has a great team out there. So we have worked on really bringing the company together more, as much as we can do that, given that we're distributed across the world. But beyond that, we implemented a $15 an hour company minimum wage this year, which is something that I'm very excited and proud of. You know, we basically, this covers the entire U.S. workforce, and in some markets, it's double the minimum wage for entry-level roles, such as we have a lot of housekeeping positions, customer service, reservation agent positions. And so it gives people an entry into, a way to start with us without having to be disadvantaged from a financial standpoint. So that's something that I've been really excited about. We also just initiated a company option plan this year, so that's something that we're also excited about. It was very difficult to do as an LLC. We're still privately held. So it's been a great journey, and we're starting to see the ability to implement some of those really social-minded programs, but they're not just socially minded. Alan can relate to this. Portland's a very, very good market for social entrepreneurship, and it's a good study in how social entrepreneurship is not bad for business. I mean, I think there's always a perception out there that if you give away too much, you're just hurting your profit margins. But at the end of the day, our homeowners care about the reputation of our business and what we stand for. Our guests care about that. Our employees care about that. So, we try to align our values as closely as we can to all of our constituents across the board. And this year has been exciting for me in that area because we've been able to implement more of those things where they've always kind of been on deck, but there's things that you never want to implement and then take away. So you always have to wait until you're 100% sure you can execute on them. So, and I'd say, where that takes us in terms of the direction of the business, it's really all about, building capacity for growth at this point, making sure that we have the right team and the right technology, the right programs to take us to that next step forward. We always have to be a little ahead of the game, and we can't, there's a lot of perception in the business world that you need to be lean to survive, and I think that's true if you're not growing. But if you're too lean as you're growing, then you don't have the people you need when you get to that next step. And that's something that Right. we were a little too lean early on, where we would wait. And that's just, I think, a function of being a bootstrapped business and not having a lot of capital to play with. But the past year, we've been able to bring people on before we need them, which allowed them to get up to speed and run their department successfully as it continues to grow. And so it's been an exciting year on a lot of levels. We took our first round of funding this year, our Series A, in April, and that's given us more flexibility to acquire other management companies. That's always, the word acquisition can be a dirty word in a lot of industries. We always view it as a partnership. Essentially, in this mm-hmm. industry, we're buying contracts that are largely relationship-based. So if we do it aggressively, it would never work anyway, and we always are working with the owners of the existing companies to ensure that they're on board, that they're excited about the program. In many cases, it enables them to either retire or to move into a role that's more aligned with what they're interested in. Most of the companies we buy have had an owner that's working 24/7, 365 for many years, so they're ready for a break. So, that we've got a lot of things going on. I just loaded a lot of things on you, but, it's always the way it is around here. We're never bored. We're always looking for the next way to improve.
I love it. And, again, this show just flies by. Would you check in with us again, Cliff, sometime, in 2017 and, let everybody know where, things are at from where they are today. And would you be able to come back on the show?
Oh, yeah, it would be my pleasure. It's been a lot of fun talking to you guys.
Awesome. I heard something really cool, and I'm going to throw it out there. You talked about team, technology, and time, and, the triple T's there, and so important for, companies. And, again, I want to relate back to the audience just for a second. And Alan, it's that time, brother. We got to, wrap the show up. But
I know. I know. I think I'm going to have to swing down there and visit you guys in your office and continue the conversation.
Right.
That'd be our pleasure. Anytime, though.
I am surprised, Alan, that you weren't in there today doing the show. But
yeah,
anyway,
probably should have been.
Story.
Probably should have been. It would have been a great place, a great way to do it. Maybe we'll do that on round two.
Oh, that
round
sounds great. We'd love to have you here.
Okay. That's awesome.
For the audience, listening in, check out thecasa.com. You heard it, from Cliff, one of the founders, about all the things that they went through to where they're at today. And, I think that's an important thing. What is it in your life right now that you might have an idea and, you haven't really taken any next steps on? And, but yet it could provide such a great opportunity and experience for people if it was available. So I challenge everybody in the audience to think about those things. It started with solving a problem, from a personal experience. And, like I said, germinated this idea and with some others brought together new perspective and then created this, action plan, which then was implemented. And along that way, created that pivot that Cliff had talked about. To get aligned with, the core values out there of the people that it affects, both guests and owners, and the, social environment or the community that they occupy. So, Cliff, thank you so much for being on the show. Sarah, thanks for listening in as well, and we're glad you are here with us to experience this. Alan, always a great pleasure, my friend. Chatting and this was a great show. I just love it. I'm jacked. I can't wait to start posting this out there. But we've got a couple 1 minute or so. Alan, do you want to provide any thoughts and then we'll bring it to a close.
Well, yeah, thanks, Chris. And it has pardon me. It has been a real joy to be able to talk with everybody today. Chris, as usual, it's always a great experience to be able to be able to bring great guests on and to have the communication, the experience back and forth that we want to be able to bring to our audience. And we've done that, well today with some great guests and some great experience for the listeners. So, Chris, thank you so much. And Cliff, I think we're just scratching the surface here, but I think there's a lot more things we're going to be able to help you bring to the audience. And I know we'd be honored to do that. And I'm excited what we've already talked about today, and I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to talk about next. But I'm glad that there is a company out there that is doing this. 12, 14 years ago, we started to do this in architecture, and it never caught on. It just wasn't we were hospitality architects, and it just the company didn't want to go there. And a couple of us saw the vision, and I'm glad you guys have taken that and have seen some similar things and have really been able to scale and ramp this to really provide an opportunity for both sides of the table. So anyway, well done. Without my waxing, Chris, we're running out of time here, but I know we've got a couple of questions we'd like to ask Cliff to give us a little bit more insight to Cliff and the company for our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. With the last little bit of time we have, we're going to ask you just a couple of questions, from your perspective as, personal experience along the way and your growth. I think it's always interesting to find out, what do you read? Like, what is your favorite book? What can you recommend to our audience?
I think, for me, I love really anything about, I read a lot of business books in general, but I think what I'm more passionate about would be like upcycle books about how we deal with environmental issues moving forward in a creative way. I think, what we've seen throughout history, at least in the U.S., is people only will move and change behavior, faster for economic reasons, even if a major problem is facing them. So I think,
right.
Looking at creative solutions for how we can work towards a more sustainable environment moving forward is a critical thing. So I would say, I often, my reading is my escape, so I also read about the places I go visit a lot for work. So for instance, recently read The Southern Tiger, which is a book about the history of Chile, like during the Pinochet years and everything. So I like to be more informed when I go to a country, so I'm not an ignorant person when I'm entering their country. So that's always a fun thing for me. But a lot of great books out there. Awesome. But yeah.
Awesome. So one question, and then Alan's going to finish up. What's Vitasa's next bold move?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, for me, maybe I'm a little biased, but on the international side, my goal is to get us in every market in every country. How quickly that happens is going to depend on many factors, many of which we don't control. But we're accelerating towards that point. And I just envision a scenario where, you know, you can go to, I do some work in Uganda with a nonprofit that I work with. I feel like if you ask most Americans what they're thought of Uganda, they would know very little about it. But making places that are currently inaccessible to people because of some mostly irrational fears is a goal for me personally within the structure of the company. But you know, our initial bold move is to really just continue that expansion into new markets, including places like Hawaii that are huge opportunities domestically. So every new market presents new challenges for us. So we're excited for those.
Love it. Thank you so much. Alan, take us away, my friend.
Hey, this has been a great experience, but like all great experiences, they have to come to an end. But before we do that, Cliff, I want to ask you just one question. We try to leave the audience with, you know, a little bit of a cliffhanger. my joke for the morning. What one bold, I just thought of that too. That's bad. What one bold move would you like to leave with the audience? Something that they can implement today, either in their business or in their life, to really enhance where they're headed today, tomorrow, and the day after?
Yeah, I would say the number one piece of advice I can give is to reach out to someone that has a completely different background than you. I think people have a lot of misperceptions and, you know, basically stereotypes about people they don't know. So that can be as simple as, you know, if you're in one political party, reach out to someone on the other side, or you know, some of from a different country, from a different race. I see far too much, you know, stereotyping in that area. And the best things I've learned in life have come from people that have grown up with completely different experiences than I've had. So that's my best piece of advice, I would say.
Great piece of advice. That's a great piece of advice. I'll think I'm going to implement that. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you both. It's been a pleasure.
Great. Well, listen, audience, thank you for listening in. You guys are absolutely amazing, and we love the questions. We love the fact that, you know, you're paying attention and you're learning from this. Come to info@thinkboldbebold.com if you have any comments. Of course, when we post this, listen in and share it with your friends. This has been such a great show. Thank you so much, Cliff, for taking some time out of your busy day. And Alan, always a pleasure, my friend. And of course, it wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.